Well, for our service of thanksgiving, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew and to chapter 24 and to verse 14, which is the text for this evening. Matthew 24 and verse 14, where we have the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples about the end times. And he says in verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." And finishing off our communion season, which has been on the subject proclamation, we take as our title for sermon this evening, "The Gospel Must Be Preached to the End." And using verse 14 here in Matthew chapter 24 as our text. And in this verse, we see the central role the Lord Jesus gives to the preaching of the gospel in the world. The Lord Jesus here does not see a time when preaching will be unnecessary. He does not state that there will come a time when preaching will be replaced by some other form of communication. Preaching, he says, is to continue in the world until the end, and the end being the time when he returns to this world. This evening we're just going to consider two main truths that stand out from this verse. The first thing that stood out to me when I first read the verse is that Christ is here making a promise. So we consider first of all the promise Christ has made. "This gospel of the kingdom," he says, "will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." In fact, this is both a promise and a prophecy. Christ is both promising and prophesying that while this earth remains, the preaching of the gospel will always take place in the world right up to the end of the world. And we have to say that so far and for so long, Christ's promise and prophecy of the gospel being preached in the world has stood firm. Ever since he ascended to heaven, there has never been a time in the world when the gospel has not been preached. There has never been a time since Christ ascended, a gap in history, if you like, when there was no preaching of the gospel in this world. It has always been preached, and it has been preached in many places throughout the world. Yes, there have been times when preaching has been at a low ebb in terms of the number of nations it's preached in and in terms of the quality of the proclamation. But overall, throughout time since Christ ascended to glory, the gospel has been preached. This promise has been kept. This prophecy is being fulfilled day by day. Immediately following Christ's ascension, the apostles and their companions tirelessly preached the gospel. We saw how they did that from Acts chapter 14. At least one author has estimated that by the close of the apostolic period, the total number of converts to Christianity had reached 500,000 people. Now, I don't know how many people in all were in the world at that time, but it certainly wasn't like the number we have today of something like 8 billion There were a lot fewer people in the world, the known world at that time. But by the end of the apostolic period, apparently there were already 500,000 people reached with the gospel. And in this period, one missionary preacher towers above all the others, the Apostle Paul, who brought the gospel further and further westward. He ended up in Rome as the Lord's prisoner, but even his imprisonment there in Rome, instead of hindering the spread of the gospel, it actually improved it. The gospel spread more and more. After the death of the apostles, the gospel continued to be preached and continued to penetrate the then known world in spite of severe persecutions from a number of Roman emperors up to the time of Constantine in the 4th century. In the longer period after Constantine, from the 5th century to the 15th century, the period known as the Middle Ages or the Medieval period, gospel preaching was at a low ebb, but it was by no means extinct. It was taken to and preached in Western Europe by such heroes of the cross as Augustine and Patrick and Columba. It was also preached in Norway and Iceland and Greenland and to the Eastern Slavs, which today include such countries as Belarus and Russia and Ukraine. Then from the 16th century, from 1517, we have the rise of Luther and the Protestant Reformation. In the 16th century, great strides were made in the preaching of the gospel and in the spread and the progress of the gospel throughout Europe and the West. God raised up great preachers like Calvin and Zwingli and Melanchthon and Latimer and Knox. The 18th and 19th centuries saw revivals in England and Scotland and in New England in North America. At the end of the 18th century, there was the rise of the modern mission movement headed by William Carey. And he aroused such enthusiasm for missions that many missionaries were sent out from English-speaking countries to far-off lands like India and Southeast Asia, China, Japan, and Korea. In the 20th century, there were outbreaks of revival in various parts of the world. The Bible was also being translated and published in more and more languages, reaching more and more peoples of the world. And during the 21st century, this work is continuing and increasing through organizations like the Bible Society, the Trinitarian Bible Society, the Gideons, Wycliffe Bible Translators, and so on. Throughout all these centuries, the gospel has been preached to the conversion of millions of people and to the building up of the saints in the faith. So in this very brief survey of the history of gospel witness, we can see that Christ has been fulfilling his promise throughout the centuries, and he continues to do so. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Throughout the centuries, various empires and movements have come and gone. But the church, in spite of at times being severely persecuted, has remained. The gospel has continued and is continuing to be proclaimed. Christ has been faithful so far in fulfilling his promise. He will continue to be faithful, and when the gospel has been proclaimed in all the world, then the end will come. What a privilege to be a part of this promise, to be able to say, I live in a land where the gospel has been preached, is being preached, and I have accepted the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom, you can say, was preached to me. I thank God that the end had not yet come before I was born. Here I am. I've heard the gospel. I've responded to it. I've accepted it. I've received Christ as my Savior. And now if Christ should come back and the end comes, I belong to him. I am safe for time and for eternity. Not everybody is able to say that in the world. There are many, many nations where people, all the people, are not able to say that because they have never heard this gospel. This gospel has not yet been proclaimed to them. How thankful we should be to be able to say, I've heard the gospel. And I've responded to it as my Savior. And if Christ should come back, all is well. I belong to him. Are you able to say that? Are you able to thank God for his grace to you in the gospel? Is Christ your Savior, your Master? What judgment there will be from Christ when he returns upon so many who had opportunity to embrace the gospel but didn't. Will Christ not say to such people, it wasn't as though you had no way of knowing the gospel. The gospel was preached in your country for centuries, but when you heard it, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe in me. You prefer to go your own way. You preferred your sins to me. And there may be many people on doors in this community, and Christ, and homes in this community, and Christ will say to them on the last day, you remember those people who came to your door and urged you to consider me. And they invited you to their church, and you would not go, and you would not listen. What have you to say for yourself today? And they will be speechless. You would not repent, Christ will say to them. And now you receive, you're going to receive your eternal reward. And we're told the final words Christ will say to such in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. He will say to them, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What terrible, frightening words for any soul to hear on the last day, when all preaching in this world is done, to hear those words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus upon his return. We who have been blessed by having the gospel, and people in this country and in the nations of the West who have been blessed by having the gospel, will be held to a higher standard than those who live in some other part of the world where the gospel is not known. We are more accountable than they are. So let us not despise the gospel. Let us not refuse it, but let us love it. Let us love Christ and aspire to know him as our Savior. And if you aspire to know him as your Savior, and you do know him as your Savior, he will be your Savior when he returns to this world. Then not only do we see in these words a promise, but implicit in them is also an expectation. And so from the promise Christ has made in these words, let's consider secondly from this verse the persistence Christ expects the persistence. Christ expects. Whilst Christ has given the promise that the gospel will be preached in all the world, the means by which that promise is fulfilled is by God's people ensuring that it is preached in all the world. Preaching, proclaiming the gospel in all the world does not happen automatically. God and Christ use means. He uses his own people to go about spreading the word. He uses preachers of the gospel to preach the word in their own land or in some other land, calling them to the work of mission. And we dare not fail to fulfill our part in the Great Commission to proclaim the gospel. And it's here that we encounter a twofold problem. First of all, we live at a time when expository gospel preaching has become unpopular. Not just in the world, but also in the church. More than 50 years ago, back in 1971, one of the most gifted evangelical leaders and preachers of the 20th century, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, wrote a book titled Preaching and Preachers. It's a work of over 300 pages. And the title of his very first chapter is The Primacy of Preaching. In that chapter, Lloyd-Jones lamented the decline in the place given to and power of preaching in his day. In many respects, the place given to preaching within Christendom has declined even more, even further in the 21st century, at least in Western countries. And no doubt there are many reasons for this. Among some church leaders, there is a lack of clarity and conviction on what the gospel really is. There is a lack of belief among some over the inerrancy of Scripture. There is a lack of reverence for Scripture, a lack of submission to Scripture, and therefore a careless attitude towards sin. Then there is also the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil upon the church, and very especially upon church leaders. If the devil can get a man who is meant to be called to preach the gospel to not preach the gospel, but preach something else, that will be a powerful weapon in Satan's hands to prevent the spread of the gospel. Or if the devil can divert a church from making the preaching of the gospel the centerpiece of all their endeavors, then again, that will do much to prevent people from hearing the gospel and getting converted. Changes in culture can also hinder the church in being faithful in preaching the gospel. We live in an age of rapid change. So much is becoming faster and leaner and better, and mostly we like it and we appreciate it. As a species, we are hungry for information and the ease and speed with which we can access information today is simply amazing. I don't think anyone wants to do away with the internet and all the benefits it gives us. I haven't met anyone who said, I think we should just let this go. We all appreciate the great benefits that the internet can give us. Indeed, it has been and is being used as a tool for the proclamation of the gospel far and wide. Anyone can listen to preaching on the internet and be blessed by it and even get saved through it. We know the internet can also be used and is being used for so much evil that is there in the world as well. But aside from the benefits of the internet, there's also a downside to this information revolution that we are living through. Listening to preaching requires time and concentration and effort. All of you now are having to make an effort to listen, to pay attention, to keep concentrating. And in the world, we are bombarded with so much information. There is a competition. There's competition for what people give their attention to. There are so many voices in all of this information clamoring to be heard. And preaching may be the last thing people want to listen to. This has had and is having some influence on the way some people worship God. It's much easier to listen to a few sound bites than to have to use your mind for thoughtful reflection. Listening to preaching involves making the full use of your mind. It involves contemplation and assessing and applying what is being communicated about God and about His will. In former eras, when people were not bombarded with so much information, they were able and they were willing to listen to the preaching of the gospel for half an hour or even an hour. They thought nothing of it. But in some churches today, the preaching of the gospel is reduced to a few minutes. And sadly, there are places where preaching has been replaced by repetitive singing, or by drama, or by personal testimonies, or just a homily on morality. No wonder Lloyd-Jones was greatly concerned about preaching in his day, and we should be concerned as well. In such situations where such things go on in church services, there's little opportunity, or maybe no opportunity, given for contemplation and reflection in one's heart and mind, assessing what is being communicated about God and His will for me. Because there's very little about God and His will being communicated. There's very little preaching, and the result at best is very little true spiritual growth and very few true conversions to Christ. And all of this goes against what is implicit in this verse. Christ expects His people to be persistent in proclaiming the gospel. The promise is that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. It is to be proclaimed until the end. Paul instructs Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching." Doesn't matter what people say to you, Timothy, and especially if they try to prevent you, you carry on in season and out of season with all long-suffering and teaching. God has commanded preaching. and the proclaiming of his word. And the church has a responsibility to give priority to preaching and to persist in it. You do well to desire preaching, to listen to preaching. There will be true and lasting fruit in your own life from hearing the word preached, because that is God's chosen means for your preservation and your spiritual growth. Spiritual revivals that have resulted in lasting conversions have all been accompanied by preaching. Well, if a lack of preaching is one problem in those places where the gospel is known, another problem is the large number of people in this world who have never heard the gospel. The most conservative estimate I could find said that there are over 1 billion people in the world today, and that is a very conservative estimate. There are probably many more, but at least there are 1 billion people in the world who have little or no knowledge of the gospel and little to no opportunity of ever hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ before they die. The 1040 window is a rectangular area of North Africa, the Middle East, and Asia between 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north latitude. This area is often called the resistant belt and includes the majority of the world's Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. Most of the people living in this region are still waiting to hear the gospel for the first time. When will they ever hear it? When will they hear the good news that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to die on the cross to save people like them? We might ask, well, could they not hear it via the internet? The majority of these people are also living in poverty. They don't have the internet. Many of them wouldn't know anything about the internet, and even if they did have the internet, gospel preaching on it most likely would not be in their language for them to understand it. Many of them are minority speaking languages. In our lifetime, many, if not all of them, will die without the gospel, and that should cause us great sorrow. It should cause us to ask, well, what can be done? What can I do? You can certainly pray. You can pray that God will open a door for the gospel to many of these countries and peoples. For someone here, God could call you to go to some place where the gospel hasn't yet been heard. If you're someone with a burden and a desire for evangelism and mission, be open to that possibility. Our wider global RP church is reaching out to a few countries where there are unreached peoples. So as we finish off our communion season, our focus has been on proclaiming. We've seen that no matter what changes take place in this world, the gospel must be proclaimed because Christ has commanded it to be proclaimed. It must be proclaimed because there is power in the gospel to save lost souls. And since everyone comes into this world lost spiritually, all need to be saved. We know that not all will be saved, but all have that need to be saved. We have seen that the death of Christ is at the heart of gospel proclamation. We saw that in our service earlier today. It's through believing in Christ and in the power of his death that anyone can be saved. And in our message this evening, we've seen the promise Christ has given that the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed, and that we have a responsibility to persist in proclaiming it. Not all are called to preach from a pulpit, but there are different levels of proclamation. All of God's people who can speak are called to speak gospel words where God gives them opportunity. Are you ready to speak for him to someone who doesn't know the gospel? The end is not yet, but we don't know when it will come. Someone's death, that would be the end for them, or the return of Christ. Who knows? Someone could thank you for all eternity because of what you said to them. They found Christ. They found his salvation. They got saved to eternal life. God is glorified, and the angels in heaven rejoice over one more sinner who is saved to eternal life. Amen.